Welcome to the November 30th, 2022 HDC board meeting. Please note that today's meeting is being held via WebEx in accordance with Chapter 417 of the laws of 2021, as modified by Chapter 1 of the laws of 2022. I'd like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum, and I will now entertain approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on September 28th, 2022. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Thank you for the second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? If none are opposed, the motion carries. And now it's my pleasure to present for the President's Report, Eric Eberle.
Good morning again, everyone, and thank you, Commissioner, and thank you to all the board members here with us again today. We do have a very full agenda this morning as we work toward the end of another busy and productive year for HDC and our partners. I continue to be incredibly proud of the dedication of the HDC team that makes the good work you'll hear about today possible. After a report from the Audit Committee, you'll hear from our first Executive Vice President, Ruth Marrera, seeking your approval for an authorizing resolution for the financing of a variety of affordable housing developments throughout the city. Following that, Vice President for Development Luke Schrey will seek your approval for two new initiatives that the HDC team has been working hard in partnership with HPD to bring to fruition. First, he'll present for your approval the authorization of a loan to the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Loan Fund. This authorization will enable an important partnership between HDC and the Department of Homeless Services and ultimately help to finance high-quality, purpose-built homeless shelters for some of our most vulnerable neighbors. Luke will also seek your approval for the New York City Minority Business Enterprise Guarantee Facility. And I'm happy to say it was exactly this time last year that I brought to your attention that the HDC team was working to formalize a city proposal to address the lack of access to guarantee funds among minority-owned affordable housing developers. So we are pleased to now come to you with details on how we hope to operationalize this partnership with the city. Our Executive Vice President for Capital Markets and Investments, Ellen Duffy, will then seek your approval for amendments to bond resolutions related to previously financed developments. Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Kathleen Bauman will then present HDC's proposed fiscal year 23 operating budget and property disposition report. It's no small feat that the capital markets team led by Ellen and the accounting and budget team led by Kathy have helped HDC's financial position remain strong throughout these uncertain times. And last, we'll return to Ruth to seek your approval for a declaration of intent resolution. A declaration of intent resolution. The agenda before you today will advance the city's efforts to alleviate our housing and homeless crisis while ensuring a more equitable New York. I want to thank the board for their ongoing support and extend my gratitude to the entire HDC team, some of whom are presenting to you today and others who've been working diligently behind the scenes for months to get us to this point. Thank you. And with that, if there are no other questions, I'll turn it back over to our board chair.
Thank you, Eric. If there are no questions, we will move to the next item. And let me just say, on behalf of the board, thank you to you and your team, Eric, for the outstanding work you've been doing. I know it very, very closely because we talk just about every day. So thanks very much. We now turn to item number four in the agenda, which is the report of the Audit Committee. And for that, we will hear from Harry Gould. Harry?
Hey, thank you. The Audit Committee met on October 28, 2022, at which time the corporation's external auditors, Ernst & Young, presented their audit plan for the annual audit of the corporation's 2022 financial statements. The members also reviewed the 2022 third quarter financials and other investment, debt, credit, and internal audit reports. The members also met prior to this meeting, at which time the fiscal year 2023 first quarter internal audit plan was approved. The members also reviewed investment, debt, and credit reports. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Harry, and thank you to the committee. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act, and for the purposes of discussing The next item on our agenda. We will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. And so for approval of an authorizing resolution related to multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2022 Series F and G, 2023 Series B and C, and approval of mortgage loans, I call on Ruth Moreira. Ruth?
Thank you, Commissioner, and good morning, everyone. Please see the black line of the memorandum that was emailed to the members this morning. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2022 Series F and G and 2023 Series B and C in an amount not expected to exceed $1,589,685,000. Together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, the bonds are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities as described in your memorandum. Interest on the 2022 Series F and G bonds and 2023 Series B and C bonds is expected to be exempt from federal, New York, state, and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap, an allocation of recycled volume cap, and the refunding of certain outstanding bonds or obligations of the corporation. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 341st through 345th supplemental resolutions. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2022 Series F bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the mortgage loans for 7 developments. In the aggregate, the developments would create approximately 2,069 rental homes in the Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 through 7. It is anticipated that the 2022 Series G bonds will be issued as a convertible option bond or a COB to preserve private activity bond volume cap in the event the corporation receives tax-exempt new private activity volume cap in excess of the amounts needed to finance the mortgage loans this December. If issued, the proceeds of the 2022 Series G bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed on attachments 1 through 8, and which will all meet the low income set aside required to issue private activity tax exempt bonds. The mortgage loans for these developments are expected to close in 2023, at which point the 2022 Series G bonds are expected to be remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. Most of the developments listed will not be funded from the 2022 Series G bond proceeds, but all will be eligible for such financing. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2023 Series B bonds will be used to refund various series of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds that are able to be refunded to generate interest rate savings in the open resolution. It is also anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2023 Series B bonds will also be used to finance or to reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from its unrestricted reserves to finance all or a portion of certain subordinate loans for certain developments described in Attachment 9 and which the members have previously approved. The issuance of the 2023 Series B bonds for this purpose will allow for the replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the mayor's housing plan. It is anticipated that the 2023 Series C bonds will be issued as a convertible option bond or COB to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation or the New York State HFA. If issued, the proceeds of the 2023 Series C bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed in attachments 1 through 8. The mortgage loans for these developments have either previously closed with corporate funded loans that will be refinanced with recycled bonds or expected to close in 2023, at which point the 2023 Series B bonds are expected to be refunded or remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. Most of the developments listed will not be funded from the 2023 Series C bond proceeds, but all will be eligible for such financing. The 2022 Series F bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt, with some subseries as recycled or new volume cap, and as fixed rate in an initial term rate term with convertible options and as variable rate demand bonds. The corporation expects UBS AG to provide liquidity through a standby bond purchase agreement for the 2022 Series F variable rate demand bonds in accordance with the programmatic authority delegated to the corporation staff by the members at the March 29, 2019 members meeting. In order to manage interest rate risk associated with the variable rate portion of the 2022 Series F bonds, the corporation is working with Mohanty Gajula LLC, its hedge advisor, and expects to enter into one or more interest rate hedging instruments. The 2022 Series G bonds, 2023 Series C bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt variable rate obligations initially in the term rate term. The 2023 Series B bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt fixed rate bonds. More detail on the developments, as well as bond underwriters, risk, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Let me make the usual comment that I'm required by the Conflict of Interest Board to make.
Mr. Mertler.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Pursuant to the requirements of the Conflict of Interest Board, I am required to disclose that members of my firm, but not I, represent from time to time Citi, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan, which are among the entities affiliated with this transaction or group of transactions. I disclose it, but I am advised that I am not required to recuse myself, having made the disclosure.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. Appreciate that.
If there are no questions, Susanna will provide the authorizing resolutions.
Thank you, Ruth. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the terms of any liquidity facility, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve the making of 7 senior and subordinate loans for the new construction of 7 developments comprised of 6 Ella developments and 1 mix and match development from proceeds of the 2022 Series F bonds and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $796 million. And the use of such amount of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to fund all or a portion of the short-term portion of the senior loans for the 7 developments. For the authorizations requested above, the members are requested to approve the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings. And finally, the members are requested to approve the execution of one or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $100 million and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into said hedging instruments. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna. And with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution related to multifamily housing bonds 2022 Series F, G, 2023 Series B and C, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you. So I have a motion, please.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
A second, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. We now move on to item number 6 on our agenda, which is the approval of a loan to the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund. You've heard from President Enderlin, and now I call on Luke Schrey for a presentation.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just muted for a second. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval a proposal related to the city's creation of the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund that is intended to support the mayor's Housing Our Neighbors Blueprint for Housing and Homelessness initiative by providing short-term loans to eligible nonprofit developers. These loans are intended to encourage nonprofit shelter operators to develop their own high-quality shelters by helping to pay for the costs of pre-development and acquisition expenses after a developer has received a request for proposal award from the city's Department of Homeless Services for a long-term shelter contract, and prior to closing on construction financing with a private lender for the construction or rehabilitation of a shelter that meets certain eligibility requirements outlined in the memo before you. Towards this end, the members are requested to authorize the making of a loan in an amount not to exceed $5 million with funds granted to the corporation from the City of New York, acting by and through DHS, to the to-be-formed New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund, LLC, that will be created by the city's partner in this endeavor, SeaChange Capital Partners, Incorporated. Please note a black line of the memo was distributed this morning, correcting SeaChange's name. The HDC loan to the shelter fund will have a 7-year term and occupy a top loss position with interest at 1% that will be deferred until maturity. The fund expects to begin operations in early 2023 with a total of $15 million in investments, including $10 million in program-related investment capital raised from foundations by SeaChange Capital Partners. The shelter fund will make loans to eligible nonprofits for the acquisition and pre-development of high-quality shelters in New York City. The fund's below-market loans are expected to significantly reduce the capital costs for nonprofits during the acquisition and pre-development of shelters. Nonprofits partnering with the fund will own the shelters and associated land, ensuring that these assets remain available to serve people experiencing homelessness for an extended period of time. Loans by the shelter fund are expected to have an interest rate of 7%, accruing and deferred, and range in size from $250,000 to $3 million, with a duration of up to 18 months. The legal structure of the fund is expected to be a standalone limited liability company managed by SeaChange with oversight in the form of a credit committee participation from DHS, HDC, and SeaChange's New York Pooled PRI Fund. Consent of the HDC representative will be required in order for the shelter fund to move forward with a loan. Further details on the terms and risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. Please let us know if there are any questions.
There are.
Thank you, Lou. The chair will now entertain Mr. Mergler.
Thank you, sir. And I particularly thank you because of what I'm about to say. Mr. Chairman, I have a significant problem which may tangentially be involved with this proposal, a proposal which conceptually is extremely sound, and one I could wholeheartedly support, but I have a problem. Mm-hmm. The elected officials of the city of Yonkers and of the Riverdale and adjacent communities, elected officials of those areas, have all joined together with the New York Times in condemning a proposed shelter project on the border between New York City and Yonkers, which is lacking in credibility, put it politely, and which the New York Times has widely criticized. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I cannot vote for this measure unless I can get agreement that before any approval would be given to the proposed shelter at 6661 Broadway, we first have a discussion of that at the board level.
Well, I think because we are, as HDC, on the committee, on the loan committee, and because we as a board will likely vote on if we are participating in the financing of such a development, which by extension we are, I think we will all, as members of this board, have the opportunity to opine and vote on these items. And please correct me if I'm wrong, Council or President Enderlin or Senior Vice President Moreira.
I would say that is, Commissioner, that is accurate. If that project were to come to the city for financing that involved HPD and HDC, okay. Mr. Merla, our understanding is that this is a this fund, we know, is looking at prospective projects based on the DHS process. We don't have a lot of insight into that process, but I can't say that we would, you know, we're looking at these from a financial feasibility point of view, and we're not involved in that DHS RFP process per se. So I don't want to put facts on the ground or create kind of a choice limiting action here. I understand your concern. We have no reason to believe that site that you just named is involved in this. But I also, you know, take my cues from some others as well. People feel differently, but I don't think we are in a position to kind of prejudge that prior to actually seeing a presentation on it, if it were even to come. But it's not our expectation that's even going to come before us.
What I'm saying to you is, in the event that such a project should in any manner, way, shape, or form come before or to HTC, which is exactly what Chairman Carrion pointed out, the board and me as a member of it be notified and have an opportunity to discuss whatever action should be taken. Please understand again that the elected officials of both Yonkers, Westchester County, and New York City have taken strong positions, as has the New York Times, concerning this project. It stinks.
So this is 6661 Broadway?
6661 Broadway. And you and I know each other for more than a couple of hours. I can represent to you 100%. This is something that has virtually universal negative reaction. It isn't anywhere near a hospital. It's near a bunch of gin mills, but not near a hospital. It's not near a police station. It's right opposite a children's park. And it was proposed to be only for adult males.
I one of the things, if I could jump in, Commissioner.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that if we are, I would be less inclined to want to make an exception for one community that would prefer not to have a shelter, but rather that we create a process to discuss maybe everything or nothing, because it just doesn't seem right. And I get talked that there's a bunch of people that don't want it, but that's probably going to be true in a lot of places. And so if we have an exception for one community in terms of the level of review of this committee, we should have that for all communities. I have a couple other questions that I'd like to raise, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you, Denise. And let me just comment on that very briefly. I think, you know, my initial comment was, we look at everything with the same measuring tape. And so regardless of the position that local officials will take, we will look at it all on the merits. And I appreciate Mr. Merdler's concern as a local resident as well and a community leader there. And that's probably true for so many of us and in our other roles that we play in our local community. So your point is well taken, Denise and Mr. Merdler. We will be impartial and objective in looking at the proposals that might come before us. You had another question, Ms. Scott?
I just some clarity. I didn't understand what the takeout source is for the loans, and that leads into a question or more clarity around how the top loss guarantee risk works.
So I can, Scott, I could talk a little bit about the takeout. So this particular fund is really for pre-development, to fund pre-development costs associated with developing a shelter. The takeout, and as part of a condition to getting financing from this fund, is to have one site control, but also to have been awarded a contract from DHS to support that service and operations and services at the site. So this loan that the that the fund would make is really sort of like a holding loan until the construction financing and permanent financing can be secured. So it could be a variety of things. It could be conventional lending from a conventional bank that can provide a construction loan that would be supported by the contract. It could be credit lease financing that's also provides financing for shelters and has for several years now. So those are some of the sources of takeout financing that would be available for some of these sites.
So it doesn't have to be identified up front in order to get the pre-development loan, because it does trigger whether you get to the finish line or not, right? And then that, I assume, puts the fund or our position in the fund at higher risk if there is no takeout in 18 months or whatever the time frame is.
So there is an 18 month, and developers, and by the developers, it really would be the not-for-profit that is awarded the contract, because that is who would be, it's strictly for a not-for-profit operator who would be awarded the contract. So during this time, up until this time, they would be looking for takeout financing. It could happen post, but it's during the pre-development period that they are seeking this. And you know, very similar to what we do with the New York Acquisition Loan Fund, you know, there could be soft commitment letters. As I said, not-for-profits are having the conversations around what would be the takeout.
I would recommend soft commitment letters. Anyway, just, I know we're not going to get into the weeds, so I apologize.
Thank you, Ms. Scott.
Chairman, may I respond, please?
Yes, Mr. Mertler, please.
First, Denise, I have no problem with applying this across the board. One of the reasons I focused on this was, and why the New York Times focused on it, and why the Office of the Senate Majority Leader focused on it, and the Chairman of the Senate Assembly Codes Committee voted on it, focused on it, among others, is DOI conducted an investigation finding absolute nepotism at every level of the other operations of the shelter operator. All sorts of problems have shown up here. I do not believe this is a problem in terms of homelessness. We welcome those shelters. We have been trying to get others in. Commissioner Carrion is perfectly aware from his prior history of the wonderful work one of the developers has done in that area to bring them in. We have no problem with that. Our issue here is an issue for the care of the kids across the street. The issue is the care of the people there. There are no medical facilities whatsoever on the Yonkers, New York City line. That's where this is. How do you put people there? And four to a room, by the way.
So,
in the proposed process with the credit committee review, after DHS awards an RFP for a contract, if a nonprofit sponsor puts in an application for this, SeaChange, who will be the fund manager, we'll be doing a very careful vetting process as well, in addition to the initial process, looking at governance of the nonprofit, looking at the proposed project, looking at construction financing takeout potential. So there is another layer of review that will be presented to this credit committee that DHS, HDC, and SeaChange will all have representation on.
That's complicated, but it doesn't solve the problem I have at hand. All I'm asking is if there is an application on this one, that either the full board or I be advised so that I can then present the facts to you. I cross-examined on the record, the Council of Homelessness, Shelter, Department of Homeless Services on this one. That record was shown to the New York Times and was published by them. It's awful. It's a disgrace. This one went through without any input over there.
So what I would say is, you know, that there will be notification as a matter of course and good practice to you and any other member, every other member. So
That's appreciated, accepted, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merdler. Do we have any other questions related to this item?
Just to clarify, you'll be talking to all of us about every project?
Precisely.
Okay, thank you.
Is that something?
That's fine.
Reasonable, practically speaking, Mr. Enderlin and Ms. Moreira and Susanna?
But I believe so. I mean, we obviously have some concerns, but the way you framed it as a notification, I think that's, and obviously the board has a fiduciary responsibility to understand our activities. I think we can, but it's be clear, it won't necessarily impact a vote per se. We'll be looking at financial. Honestly, I don't expect this particular item to come up, Mr. Merdler. We don't anticipate that, but we genuinely don't have insight into that at this point. It is our understanding that it's a forward looking process, and this sounds like it's fairly well developed from your understanding. But that said, you guys are looking at something broader. I think the way the chair just described it as this notification process to members sounds like a reasonable thing that shouldn't be overly burdensome. But, you know, Ruth and maybe Susanna, if you've got any thoughts or concerns about that, I don't believe it interferes with any of our agreements to do that, but we can't prejudge an application.
I think that's right. So an award will be made through a decision of the fund credit committee, which, as Susanna stated, has both HDC, DHS, and C change. So through that process, we can definitely provide the board with a notification of what project is being awarded financing through this fund. I would add that if, and only if, we are to actually finance a development, a shelter, with HDC funding and with HPD funding, of course, then at that point in time, the project will be presented to the board as part of the normal approvals that, you know, you've seen today through our normal project and mortgage loan approval process.
Ruth, you confused me just a little bit. And sure. I don't mean to prolong this. All I want is to have notification, as the chair has indicated, before any definitive action is taken, so that I can bring in the Senate Majority Leader and others to make clear their position. This is not even in our area, it's at the borderline, but it's something that is really pretty scandalous in my view.
So I guess I would say when HDC, as a representative of the credit committee, receives a proposal, at that point the notification would be sent. We on the credit committee will have an obligation to respond within a certain amount of time, so it can't be sort of an open-ended or we're not going to be able to convene a board meeting, but we can send the notification, and you know, with the understanding that if there's a concern or a response, that's sent, you know, in pretty much immediately.
Yeah, and Susanna, to that point, none of that will affect our regular process. So we will move as we do with all items as a board. Frankly, you know, elected officials will always opine and have in the past, and will do it in the future. And they have ample opportunity and soapboxes and platforms to do such. So they'll probably know before a lot of people know. Having said all that, is there any other discussion, any other questions from any member?
Could I just make one quick comment? And but sometimes these kinds of conversations get heated, and ideas like crowding and multiple people in a room come up. And there are programmatic restrictions on that here. I just want to, when you mentioned, Mr. Merdler, situations like four to a room, that's actually prohibited under this. And Luke Schrey can comment on that a little bit more. But
what I said when the council and deputy commissioner of HD Housing and Homeless Services appeared before us.
Yeah.
And the answer was we have approved up to 6.
Yeah. So that's not
on the record.
Right. But particular requirement for HDC to be involved in this is that unrelated families or persons have separate sleeping rooms. So these will not be shelters that have multiple unrelated people in rooms. This is
Zana, I don't want to get into discussion further. I've prolonged this far too long, and I apologize to every member of staff and the board for it. My point is, they have said already that's what they're going to do.
Then it wouldn't be eligible. I mean, likely, I don't want to speak because we don't know what this is. But I think the point is, there are going to be eligibility requirements under the shelter fund documents. And it's possible that this wouldn't be eligible.
Shelter fund documents, fine. That's fine. That's helpful.
Thank and you. As the chair's outlined, we'll have that notice requirement.
Yep. Thank you.
I will send you the link to the testimony of the deputy chair.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you, members. And thank you, staff. I'll now entertain a motion to approve the loan to the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund. Do I have a motion?
Sorry, Commissioner, I need to ask, I believe, one more paragraph.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. If there are no further questions, the members are requested to approve the making of a loan with grant proceeds from DHS in the amount of $5 million to the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund, LLC, that will be in a top loss position in relation to other loans to the fund, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish this loan.
Thank you, Luke.
Move it.
Second.
Thank you. The motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Schrey, for making sure the record was correct. We move on to item number 7, which is the approval of a guarantee for the New York City Minority Business Enterprise Guarantee Facility. And for that, I will call back Mr. Schrey.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval a proposal related to the city's creation of a New York City Minority Business Enterprise Guarantee Facility that is intended to support the mayor's Housing Our Neighbors Blueprint for Housing and Homelessness initiative by providing limited backstop construction loan guarantees to construction lenders for affordable housing developers that are certified as minority business enterprises. MBE developers of affordable housing have historically had difficulty securing construction loans because they are not able to meet the guarantee and liquidity requirements of commercial banks. To fill the guarantee and liquidity needs, these developers often form a partnership with larger firms that dilutes their ownership and decision-making in their own project, reducing their developer fees and limits their ability to grow and take on more projects independently. Recognizing this challenge, HPD has asked HDC to participate along with Goldman Sachs to create the MBE Guarantee Facility to promote the participation and growth of MBE developers by acting as a limited backstop to the bank guarantees provided by the MBE developers. Towards this end, the members are being asked to authorize a guarantee and the use of up to $25 million of the corporation's unrestricted reserves, if necessary, for the guarantee facility, of which 70% or $17.5 million would occupy a top loss position. The facility will be unfunded unless there is a default on a project loan that results in a construction lender calling on a backstop guarantee, at which point HDC would use its unrestricted reserves to fund the financial obligation under the MBE guarantee facility. Upon funding of a guarantee by HDC, pursuant to a memorandum of understanding with HPD, HPD would begin to process to repay HDC via a swap arrangement wherein HPD would grant funds to HDC for a future project, so that HDC can decrease its subsidy by the amount funded for the guarantee. Goldman Sachs is expected to commit $25 million to the facility, subject to their credit committee approval. The MBE guarantee facility will further HDC's goals of creating affordable housing in New York City by facilitating more direct opportunities for MBE developers to participate in the affordable housing development market on their own. The facility is expected to provide a total of up to $50 million in backstop guarantees to MBE developers that meet the eligibility criteria described in the attached draft term sheet as they seek private construction loans or letters of credit in order to develop city-financed affordable housing projects in New York City. Each senior construction loan amount is expected to be $50 million or less. The maximum amount of each backstop guarantee will be capped at 10% of that senior loan, unless otherwise approved by unanimous agreement of the facility's credit committee, which will consist of a representative from HDC, HPD, and Goldman Sachs. Within these parameters, the facility is expected to provide backstop guarantees that enable as much as $500 million in private construction lending to MBEs. Further details on the terms and risk of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. Please let me know if there are any questions. If there are no questions, the members are requested to approve a guarantee that will be a general obligation of the corporation and the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves, if necessary, to fund such guarantee for the MBE guarantee facility in an amount not to exceed $25 million, of which $17.5 million will occupy a top loss position. The members are also requested to approve the execution of a risk share agreement with Goldman Sachs, the issuance of private individual guarantees to construction lenders, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish this guarantee. Thank you.
Sorry, I do have one question.
Thank you, Mr. Schrey. Mr. Nyblack.
The usual terminology is MWBE. I'm just wondering, is that implied or included here? Why it's not more explicit?
No, this is specifically an MBE facility. It is not implied on the W. There was some discussion about that, but when we looked at the numbers, and we don't deny that there is a potential need, but when we looked at the numbers, what stood out was that minority enterprises were underrepresented in both the size and the scale of it, and that was the original proposal, as I mentioned, that came up a year ago. So this is specifically an MBE facility at this point.
And it was found that women were not underrepresented?
Not in the same way or to the same degree. We specifically, the quantifiable number was the size and scale of the developments that were undertaken.
And I'll note that, you know, running an agency of this size with the kind of activity that we're engaged in, the minority side of that equation, of the MW equation, has a severe deficit of activity and opportunity historically, and the W side is overrepresented by white women firms, white women led firms, and then there are a number of other interesting patterns that we've noted. The M side does capture black and brown women, which is really the intent of this. I think what we're addressing, Preston, and we've had this discussion, is historic structural inequities that persist, and we think we have an opportunity as an administration to address those. So hence the MBE.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I would just add, Commissioner, I agree with you 100% that this is so sorely needed. It's really commending the city, HDC and HPD for putting this fund together. I think it's going to begin to address the inequities and the systemic barriers that have been in the way of black and brown developers, men and women, advancing in this industry. So thank you.
Certainly, and I think everyone understands that this is a multi-billion dollar industry that provides a tremendous opportunity to lots of people in our city and our region. Anyone else? Thank you all. I will now entertain a motion to approve a guarantee for the New York City Minority Business Enterprise Guarantee Facility.
I move.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Harry. And all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Congratulations. We move on to item number 8, which is approval of amendments to multifamily rental housing revenue bonds to Gold Street resolution and multifamily mortgage revenue bonds relative to 201 Pearl Street development. The chair will now pass it on to Ellen Duffy. Ms. Duffy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So on March 23rd, 2006, the members adopted the multifamily housing revenue bonds to Gold Street bond resolution, approving the issuance of the corporation's multifamily rental housing bonds 2006 Series A and 2006 Series B. The proceeds of the bonds were used to refund prior bonds of the corporation, proceeds of which were used by 2 Gold Street LLC for the purpose of paying a portion of the cost of constructing and equipping a 51-story building containing 650 residential units and retail and commercial space located 2 Gold Street in Manhattan. On November 9, 2006, the members adopted the multifamily mortgage revenue bond 201 Pearl Street development bond resolution approving the issuance of the corporation's multifamily mortgage revenue bonds 2006 Series A and 2006 Series B. The proceeds of the bonds were used by 201 Pearl LLC for the purpose of paying a portion of the cost of constructing and equipping a 28-story building containing 189 residential units, retail and commercial space located 201 Pearl Street in Manhattan. Both series bonds are variable rate bonds whose interest rates presently are reset on a weekly basis by a remarketing agent pursuant to a remarketing agreement between the remarketing agent, the related mortgagor, and the corporation. Fannie Mae is a credit facility provider under the related direct pay credit enhancement instrument that secures such bonds. The bond resolutions and the remarketing agreements permit the respective mortgagors to, from time to time, replace the current remarketing agent with a successor remarketing agent, provided the successor meets certain qualifications, including that it have a rating equal to or higher than a BBB- long-term rating or a A3 short-term rating issued by S&P Global Ratings, the rating agency which rates the bonds. Mortgagors desire to appoint as such a successor remarketing agent, Bank of New York Mellon Capital Markets, LLC, which does not maintain credit ratings with S&P or any other rating agency, although its parent entity does maintain ratings exceeding the above minimum levels. Mortgagors have requested that the corporation amend the respective bond resolutions to permit such appointment. The proposed amendments would modify the remarketing agent requirement in each bond resolution to provide that the requirement may be satisfied by the remarketing agent or by a parent entity. Each such amendment is permissible with sufficient notice to the applicable bondholders, providing an opportunity for the bondholders to tender their bonds if desired, consent to the credit facility provider to the amendment, both of which would be required prior to the amendments taking effect. Amendments would not impact S&P's ratings of the bonds. There are no questions. Susanna will provide the authorizing resolutions.
Any questions? Yeah. Susanna?
Thank you. The members are requested to approve authorizing resolutions, which provide for the adoption of the first supplemental resolution to the multifamily rental housing revenue bonds 2 Gold Street bond resolution, and the first supplemental resolution to the multifamily mortgage revenue bonds 201 Pearl Street development bond resolution, which provide for the amendments to the respective bond resolutions and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of all other documents required for the amendments.
Thank you, Susanna. I'll now entertain a motion to approve the amendments to multifamily rental housing revenue bonds. Two Gold Street bond resolution and multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 201 Pearl Street development bond resolution described in the memo before you. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much, members. We will now have a presentation and approve the fiscal year 2023 operating budget. And for that, I call on Kathy Bowman.
Thank you, Commissioner. I am pleased to present the corporation's proposed fiscal year 2023 operating budget for the members' approval. The corporation ended fiscal year 22 with an excess of revenues over expenses on a cash basis of $116.29 million, an increase of $11.74 million over the budgeted amount. The increase was due to higher than expected servicing fees and earnings on investments due to rising interest rates throughout the year. It's also resulted in better than expected performance in the open resolution. Fiscal year 23 revenues are budgeted to be $151.92 million, an almost $7 million increase from the fiscal year 2022 budget. The budget-to-budget increase is largely attributable to an increase in investment income due to higher interest rates. Fiscal year 23 expenses are budgeted to be $45.86 million. This is a $5.46 million or 13.5% increase from the fiscal year 22 adopted budget. The increase from the fiscal year 22 budgeted amounts revolves around certain budget lines decreasing or increasing from last year, but the overall projected increase is due to the growth in work, growth in staff, and the signing of the new office lease. Notwithstanding the upheaval in the post-pandemic financial landscape, the corporation has been weathering the storm relatively well this past year. During fiscal year 22, the corporation issued almost $2 billion in bonds and debt obligations to finance a total of 32 developments in a combination of new construction and preservation loans. Additionally, $127 million of corporate money was committed for subsidy loans. Along with the bond financings, HDC's total assets and net assets for fiscal year end are expected to be $25 billion and $3.69 billion, respectively. Additionally, the corporation's work with our partner agencies continues. HDC continues to work as the key financing partner under the NYCHA PACT program. To date, HDC has contributed over $1 billion in financing, supporting repairs and upgrades at 33 NYCHA campuses comprising over 10,000 homes under the PACT program. In addition to assembling the financing, HDC joins NYCHA in providing ongoing asset management for PACT transactions as well. Corporation also continues its longstanding partnership with HPD, including bringing additional debt and properties into the portfolio, increased loan servicing, and working on streamlining procedures and processes to enable applicants and shelter residents to move into their homes more expediently. There has also been an increase in underwriting for workouts, which is no easy task during this period of rising expenses and interest rates. These great partnerships and concerted efforts by the agencies to revitalize neighborhoods and increase the supply of affordable housing also comes with increased workloads on staff and other costs. These demands on an organization as successful as HDC, as well as continued succession planning for the future, denotes a need to grow our staff once again this year. This year's budget includes an increase of 10 positions to the staff headcount, all of which are spread throughout the departments to maintain an efficient and productive workforce and work product. Along with this growth in staff comes an investment in the physical space. The corporation's office lease at its current location expired on November 18, 2022, and after an extensive search of the best opportunities available in the financial district, HDC was able to take advantage of a down real estate market and executed a lease at the historic Equitable Building located at 120 Broadway in July of 22. While we wait for the landlord to complete construction at 120 Broadway, we have extended our lease here at 110 William through spring of next year. The corporation is very proud to remain in the financial district area, which we have called home for more than 50 years.
HDC is dedicated to ensuring the success of New York City's communities and is proud that the new office space will allow us to be a continued part of the revitalization of one of the city's most vibrant business districts. The new space will allow HDC to accommodate the needs of our growing staff for years to come. This year's budget carries certain one-time expenditures to prepare for the new office space, which has led to the larger than normal increase to the operating budget this year. If not for these increased budget lines related to the new space, the fiscal year 23 expense budget would have increased just a little over 3%. As these are one-time budget expenditures, we are anticipating that next year's operating budget will see an overall decrease and a return to routine operating budget activity. Amid serious economic uncertainties stemming from high inflation and geopolitical realities far outside of our control, the fiscal year 23 operating budget that senior management proposes demonstrates the corporation's responsible and strategic fiscal planning. By containing administrative costs through operational innovations and efficient managerial controls, HDC will maintain its flexibility as we reach our goals of increased productivity and maximize our contribution to the city's housing effort. The notes in Schedule A to the budget memo contained in your packages provide more details for each revenue and expense line item. And if there are no questions, the members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2023 operating budget.
I have a question, please.
Okay, Mr. Nyblick.
What is the corporation's current authorized headcount and vacancies?
Right now, with the increase of 10 heads, we would be at 228. We have about 20 vacancies right now, and we had 3 requested budget new hires last year that we are still looking to fill this year.
Must be nice, right, Adolfo?
You read my mind, sir. You read my mind.
Jacques is carefully looking at something else here.
Yes, I know.
I couldn't hear you.
That the momentary deafness, right, Jacques? Any other questions or comments related to the 2023 operating budget presented by Ms. Bowman? Thank you all. Hearing none, I will now entertain a motion to approve the 2023 operating budget.
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you. We will now move to the presentation of the property disposition report, also by Kathy Bowman.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the property disposition guidelines attached to the property disposal guidelines report. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, each public authority is required to adopt comprehensive guidelines in connection with the disposition of property owned by each authority and reapprove such guidelines on an annual basis. The guidelines have not changed since originally approved by the members in fiscal year 2008. The corporation does not currently own any real property, nor did it dispose of any in the prior year, as noted in the annual property disposition report in the members' packages. After approval, the report will be submitted to the Office of the State Comptroller, the Director of Budget, the Commissioner of General Services, and the Office of the New York City Comptroller. The report will also be published on the corporation's website. If there are no questions, the members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2022 property disposition guidelines.
Thank you, Kathy. Any questions on that? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the property disposition report.
So moved.
Thank you, Harry. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much. We will now look at the approval of a declaration of intent resolution related to Mott Haven Gateway, located at 261 Walton Avenue, Bronx, New York. And for that, we will get a presentation from Ruth Moreira. Ruth?
Thank you. As you know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, 261 Walton Avenue, Bronx, New York. The proposed development will consist of the new construction of one 13-story building containing a total of 195 residential low-income rental units to be located in the Mott Haven neighborhood in the Bronx, using approximately $68,255,000 in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by members of Nick Point Ventures, LLC, JCAL Development Group, and Touchstone Builders. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Ruth. Any questions related to this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the Declaration of Intent resolution for Mott Haven Gateway located at 261 Walton Avenue in the Bronx. Do I hear a motion?
So move.
Thank you. Second, please.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm sorry to interrupt, and I'm very sorry to do this, but people who have been listening very closely asked that we redo the vote for number 6, approval of a loan to New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Fund. I know no one opposed, and I know it was seconded, but if we could just technically go through number 6, do I have a motion to approve?
Okay.
It would make some people here happy. And I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay. Well, Councillor, we will follow your counsel. The chair will now entertain a motion related to item number 6 on our agenda, which is to approve the loan to the New York Shelter Acquisition and Pre-Development Loan. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, ma'am. A second?
Second.
Second.
Thank you, sir. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you.